Well, good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome to Awakening Churches. It's good to have you here. And this is very informal. All right, so you can relax because I guess you've bolted down your lunch. Yeah. Has everyone had some lunch? Some are having their lunch. Excellent.
If you're not having lunch, just put it down as a fast, I think. That's what you need to do.
Put it down as a fast, yeah, I think. So. Well, that's a good prompt to pray, actually, isn't it?
Oh, see, we did.
That's a very good prompt to pray. So, Father, we're just coming together this afternoon to enjoy fellowship with one another, to talk about awakening your church. And, Father, we just ask that you'd inspire us in this time. You'd provoke within our hearts and minds something, Lord God, that is going to be fruitful for the growing of your kingdom. So help us today, Lord God. Help us to hear you. Help us to glorify you and to enjoy this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is we are talking about awakening the church. There's three sessions this week. So Mark and I are here to talk about the evangelizing church.
Yep.
You know a little about that, Mark?
Little tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Starting to learn a bit more.
Yeah. So there's something to share, isn't
there?
A little
bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. And then Steve and Harold are going to be sharing tomorrow on the influencing church.
Great.
So we're looking forward to that. You've got something to share too, Steve? Excellent, excellent. There's very positive, definite.
Yes.
They've got something to share. This is good. And then finally, Thursday, we've got the Supernatural Church, and Chloe Schwartz is coming. She is brilliant.
Superb.
She's going to share loads with us, and we are going to be blessed by her ministry in
absolutely.
That session. So do come along to all three, is what I'm saying. Just enjoy today, but come along to the other sessions as well. So fantastic. The sort of question that we're working on today is how can we be sure that every church has evangelism embedded in all they do? And I'm struggling with that question because I keep wanting to turn the they to a we.
Yeah.
Because it is a we,
isn't
it? You know, it's a we together as Elim, we together as the denominations in the nation, and of course, we together as individuals in our local church. So this is exciting. So what we want to do is share what's going on in the movement. We want to share about people who are trying to help resource the church at this time. So we are hoping, we've got Leon here. I don't know if Darren and Jackie are here. Are they here? Not yet. So not sure why they're not here. But anyway,
shockers.
We will put their slide up anyway.
Not being funny. If they don't turn up soon, I am kicking off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sort of be fun. So could someone stand on the door and just stop Darren?
I mean, there's
Jackie
lectern's going to be kicked over and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, we could enjoy that. We could enjoy that. So Leon, do you want to come up and talk about
this? Give it up for Leon, everyone.
Now, if you could time Leon, he said 3 minutes. He could do this.
Three minutes. I can do it. 3 minutes. I think I can.
You said three.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me tell you about Lauren. So Lauren's in her mid-30s, lives in our town, Evhalzo, just outside Birmingham. No church background at all. Was into New Age, was having sleep paralysis, seeing apparitions appear on her bed. Was really traumatized by this. And then one day she's in Germany working. And she really feels that she should read the Bible. So she downloads the YouVersion of the Bible, or downloads a version of the Bible, starts reading from Genesis, and then realizes she might need some help. So she Googled churches in her town, and we came up on the top. And our website is designed in such a way with outsiders in mind, not with insiders. So she was able to connect with one of our staff. She started watching some of our services online. She came to church. She got saved. The minute she mentioned the name Jesus, she's never had a sleep paralysis attack since then. And when we heard her story and we baptized her a year ago, what was amazing to us was what we understood was we had nothing to do with the Spirit of God at work within her, causing her to want to reach out to God. We had nothing to do with that. But we had a lot to do with being ready for when the Holy Spirit brought her to our door. You know, Chris spoke this morning about the bias on a bowling ball. Churches have three biases. Over time, we turn inward, we grow old, and we disconnect from our culture. We can't help it. We have to fight it with all of our worth. In 2019, our church was invited along with other churches to set up a network in the UK. It's not a denomination. I'm very happy in Elim. It's a network of churches that want to be churches that unchurched people want to be a part of. Yeah. And so now there are 35 churches across the UK and Ireland, many Elim churches, many Assemblies of God, Baptist, Black Majority Church, independent churches. We're connected relationally to a network of about 100 churches in the USA, 150 churches in Latin America, and about 30 churches in Australasia as well. So there's about 300 churches around the world that are connected relationally. Like I say, not denominations, but networks of churches that want to grow by reaching unchurched people. If that would be of help to you or of interest to you, we have a whole load of resources. Our four C's really is that we want to do context. We want to help you to, how do you do this in your context? Context is really important. Secondly, we talk about content. We have access to incredible content from all around the world that we want to kind of help you, serve you in any way we can. But really importantly, coaching and connection. They are our two big C's. What we've found in the last 5 or 6 years is just a bunch of churches that want to grow by reaching unchurched people with outsiders in mind. So we're thinking about our language, thinking about our approach, we're thinking about our strategy. You know, your church has a ministry model. You know that, don't you? It is perfectly designed to get the results you're currently getting. So if you're happy with everything, don't come and talk to any of us. Just crack on, okay? You're doing a great job. But if, like us, you want to reach more people who don't know Jesus, so we baptize more Lawrence. Last year, we baptized 52 people in the year, which is the most we've ever baptized in a year. And at the end of the year, when I realized that it was one for every week of last year, I felt God say to me, and imagine what it would be like if it was one for every day. For every day. There could be churches all across the UK and Ireland that unchurched people find a way to connect and meet Jesus. So the further, faster network. If we can help you in any way, drop me an email or chat to me while I'm here. I would love to do that. I think that's 3 minutes.
Well done. Hey. Awesome, Leon. That's great what you're doing. So you've got the information up there to connect to Leon. So I don't know, have Darren and Jackie turned up? No.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Dear.
Sandwiches.
Let's put their slide up anyway, because they're doing something fantastic in the Northwest, something called Seedbed. You don't have to be in the Northwest to connect with them, but it's another initiative to grow the church, to plant churches. So take their details as well and connect with them. And if they turn up, we'll just get them here. So that's great. But we wondered if you just wanted to take a moment to connect with one another, maybe say what church you're from, just introduce what sort of stuff you're doing in church to evangelize others. So do you want to get up and just go say hello to somebody that perhaps you haven't spoken to as you've come into the session?
Yeah.
Encourage one another in what's going on in the church.
Right Now Media. Who are exhibiting.
Okay, downstairs.
Downstairs, yeah. And there's a 50% discount.
Is there? And oh, I'll give them a plug then, because I love
here.
Them.
They are here in the room.
Yeah.
So, they said they were going to rock.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, they're exhibiting. Yeah. Special beer.
Excellent. Brilliant.
Thank you.
So maybe just a minute more catching up, and then we'll call you back to listen to a video. Okay. Lord, do take your seats again, and we're going to see something very special in a moment. You know, last year I was at Malvern. I think I was in an NLT meeting, and I looked out of the window and I saw you, Mark. All right, and you weren't there on your own. You had like an entourage. It was like, oh, wow, what's happened to Mark? He's got a film crew with him. Well, little did I know he wasn't just out on the terrace at Malvern. They were taking you up the mountain as well, weren't they? So I've got a question for you. When they did that filming, and we're going to watch the video in a moment, did you walk up those hills or did you get a lift?
Helicopter.
Oh, my.
That's the heights I've scaled.
Wow.
No, it was a genuine walk. Yeah, it's steep up those hills.
It is steep. Kind of them to put a well halfway up.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, great news. Mark was being filmed for his Healthy Maybe. That's it, isn't it? So, and it was Right Now Media who were filming, and they've produced his series on Right Now Media. And anyone got Right Now Media in your churches? Yeah, we have at Nantwich. Fantastic. We just love Right Now Media. We're using Right Now Media in our discipleship groups and encouraging our children to access it and for pastoral care. And they are here. I think they're here in the room. Is there... some of the right, wonderful. It's good to have you here. They have an offer on, a special offer. You pay a monthly amount and you get access for your church. And I believe that whatever size, I may be saying this wrong, but this was how it was for me when we signed up. We signed up in COVID. We brought the church Right Now Media as a Christmas present to everybody in the midst of COVID. And it was really well received. And but the good news is if you sign up to Right Now Media and your church grows, you keep using it at that early rate.
Oh.
So I must admit, our church has grown post-COVID and continues to grow. Brilliant. And we're enjoying, everyone's enjoying the blessing of the Right Now Media. But this is a great video and this is a great series. And I just want to encourage you, we've used it in our church, and I want to encourage you to use the series in your church too. So let's play the video.
If we want to be more effective in sharing the gospel, we need to understand the process by which a person comes to faith. When I first started doing evangelism, I was so focused on those who were saying the big yes to Jesus, I didn't value and even see the small movement of the little yes, let alone the healthy maybe. In this 5-part series, join me, Mark Greenwood, as we learn how to better share the gospel, doing it with sensitivity and kindness in word and deed through the power of the Holy Spirit. I really do believe in helping people say a big yes to Christ, but it's important to get it right. As we journey with people, we need to make space for them to intentionally investigate the Christian faith. Simply becoming open-minded to faith, the healthy maybe, can sometimes be the most significant part of the journey.
Wonderful. Mark, I just wonder, would you do that walk for us? Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, come on. Mark's out of 10. Hey, that's a good walk.
Different brogues, same walk.
That's a great, great walk. So, Mark, we're going to have a chat, aren't we?
Yes.
We're going to ask some questions in this time. So, and actually, we'll maybe give you the opportunity to ask some questions as well. So we might just throw some
wild... We didn't agree to that, but no. Yeah, all right then.
I just think that might be fun.
No, definitely, definitely.
Some wild cards in there. So first off, I think it'd be really helpful for us to understand about you and how you got into evangelism. Mm. So will you tell us a little bit about you and your journey into evangelism?
Yeah, definitely. Really interestingly, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. My mum and dad, well, my dad classed himself as a lazy atheist. And what he meant by that was he decided there was no God, but he couldn't really be bothered to find out whether it was true or not, which is a very accurate description, really, when you think about it. So we became Christians through a local Elim church, the Elim church in Bradford, doing door-to-door evangelism. And what's really, is a whole like bunch of amazing things about that. So first of all, it had been a really tough night. Anybody know when you're doing evangelism that sometimes it's just tough, isn't it? You just think, oh, why on earth am I doing this? And like door-to-door evangelism, I became Christian through door-to-door evangelism. I hate doing door-to-door evangelism. You think I'd love it, but I like...
Now, I love it, Mark.
You love it?
I love it,
What's
yeah.
wrong with you?
I know. I love it. We just don't do enough of it.
No, that's true. Like, but do you not like approach a door and then like pray there's nobody in?
No. I was a hospital chaplain, right?
Right.
That's like door knocking. When you go it onto is. The ward and you go from bed to bed, you just don't know who's there.
I love your faith.
Yeah, it's great. So,
anybody here ever prayed that there's nobody in when they were... Yes, thank you. But here's the interesting that they had this really horrendous night, and Godfrey Fern, who was the pastor at my church at the time, who, from my humble opinion, is one of Elim's greatest unsung heroes. And he was taking out this new Christian called Brian, who'd literally just become a Christian himself 6 days previous. So he's taking Brian out onto the doors, and it had been a horrendous night. Nobody wanted to talk. So Godfrey, he says, well, look, let's go back, because clearly nobody wants to talk. And, you know, he's kind of trying to protect the new Christian. He's been a Christian 6 days. It's not been a positive experience. And Brian said, no, let's knock one more door. And let me do it. And that was my door. Let's knock one more door. If I had only one moment to say anything about evangelism, I'd say it's always about knocking one more door. Talking to one more person, inviting one more person on Alpha. Brian knocks on this door. And as a result of that, a whole family becomes a Christian. Somebody becomes a national evangelist. I mean, that's like you've peaked early doors, haven't you? Mm-hmm. I think you can have the rest of your Christian life off after that. You know, your first bit of evangelism, you out-knock the pastor, okay? Yeah. A whole family comes to faith. I mean, after that, you can only go downhill, can't you, really? Awesome. So I became a Christian through evangelism. So when I became a Christian, I just thought that's what everybody did. Little did I realize that not everybody did it for a whole variety of reasons. Yeah, yeah. But for me, I was really grateful that somebody came and told us about Jesus. And so when I got into evangelism, it was like I was 14 then, and within weeks, I'm out on the streets, I'm out on the doors, mm-hmm. I'm singing a song in the Salvation Army Hostel with my guitar, three chords, played very powerfully. I wrote some amazing songs with strong lyrics like, Jesus died for me, he, on Calvary, he. I tell you what, Elim sound are not interested. I don't know why.
But anyone yes, got a guitar?
Clear the room. Clear the room. So that's really how I got into evangelism. I can't say evangelism doesn't work because, look, I'm here because of it, really.
It's awesome. And you are our national evangelist. Yeah. So that, you know, given the stats
yes.
of UK church attendance and diminishing sort of faith, there's a task, isn't there, before us? But it's not just for you, of course. Yeah. It's for all of us as well. So what do you think we need to do as a movement? What's the vision God's given you for evangelizing the nation and beyond?
Let me just say right at the outset of this, I started full-time evangelism 3 days before my 18th birthday. I'm 54 now. And you know what? I'm more excited than ever. I'm more confident that the gospel really is the power of God unto salvation than ever. And I have to say, have you noticed that? Well, I've noticed that for as long as I've been a Christian, revival is just around the corner. And it's like, how long is that flipping corner? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I've been around some corners. At the moment, I feel like I'm going around the bend waiting to go around the corner. But I actually do believe, I don't know what revival looks like, but let's just use that phrase for a minute. I actually believe that revival has always been around the corner, but the problem has been we've been waiting for it to come around the corner to us. And that's not how it works. We have got to go around the corner to it. Because I happen to believe the scriptures when it says that there's never a problem with the harvest. It's always been a problem with the workers. That's the Mark Greenwood version of it. The real version says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so I've chosen to believe that God's at work and that God's doing stuff. And actually, the more people we can motivate to go around the corner, I think we're going to get to where God's at work. Now, what I think we have got now, which I'm hugely encouraged by, I think probably, and I've always been a little bit reluctant to join the sort of revival mm-hmm. thing. And I certainly don't want to say something's happening when it isn't, because I've got this little phrase where I meet a lot of what I call revival mirages. So you know a mirage is when you're so desperate to see something mm-hmm. that you start imagining it.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to be careful because we are all desperate to see God do something, but we've got to make sure we don't imagine it. Like, you know, 300 people get saved on the streets that day, but none of them are engaging in any meaningful journey with a local church. I think that's a revival mirage. But let me just say, on kind of caveat to that, I am actually really genuinely believing we're starting to see a move of God on our shores mm-hmm. once more. There's the Talking Jesus research. There if you is. Haven't come across the Talking Jesus research, it was carried out first of all in 2015. And in the UK generally, they broke down the figures for Ireland and Wales recently. But in the kind of UK and Ireland general figures, it revealed in 2015 that 1 in 5 people, after a conversation with a Christian that they knew, were interested in having a conversation about Jesus or an encounter with Jesus. They ran it again in 2022, post-COVID, in the middle of the war, in the middle of all the crises. And it revealed that now the stats are 1 in 3 people are interested. Now, I'm hugely excited by that. Now, I know sometimes as Christians, we go, oh, what about the 2 out of 3? 1 in 3, let's crack on. Because 1 in 3, I've committed to doing some sums here, and I got unclassified in my maths. So that's a goodly number of people, isn't it? 1 in 3 of the people that you're going to meet in your life are interested in a conversation mm-hmm. about Jesus. Maybe not about the church, maybe not necessarily about Christianity, the institution, but certainly about Jesus. And I'm excited by that.
Well, that is exciting, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely.
I wonder how many people are seeing some growth in church at the moment, because we're hearing and we're experiencing in Nantwich of increasing numbers of people coming.
Absolutely.
Perhaps we'll have a show of hands. Have you seen new people in your churches in the last couple of months.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is good, isn't it?
It's
encouraging because people are curious.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do we do to help our churches as people are coming through the door and as people are volunteering to get involved in evangelism? How do we help, Mark?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. I'm a massive proponent of a journey-based approach to evangelism. I think journey is the operating system of evangelism and discipleship. And if you know anything about operating systems, if you don't get one in place, none of the apps work, none of the programs work. So I think we've got to get that in place. And I think I can really, really help you with that. I'm not going to unpack massively that here. What I am going to say is come down and see me. I'm a brand spanking new, very posh backdrop. I've got leaflets and everything. Massive TV, huge TV.
Is this downstairs, Mark?
It is, yeah. Great suites as well.
Yeah.
Great suites.
Well, suites sounds good.
Yeah, because it's all about that, isn't it? But come and chat to me. Let's have a meeting post the summit. Let's grab a Zoom together because I think there's two things we're about. Number one, helping churches with their evangelism culture and then helping evangelists to get equipped and released so that they can serve the local church. And I think that's really, really critical. So I think embedding a journey-based approach to evangelism is not essential, it's critical. It's absolutely critical. We have to be able to not just meet people where they're at, that's critical, but we've also got to take them on a bit of a journey as well. So I think I can help our churches with that.
And are there other ways you can help us grow our churches as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of equipping resources. We've got a whole bunch of strategic thinking stuff. We can help churches to go through that. We can look at where we're maybe weak or strong, where there's some gaps in our sort of evangelism thinking, you know, things like about community engagement, where does that connect? Mm-hmm. What does that do? Yeah. Is it just something that's a disconnected, slightly unhealthy appendage? Or can it be critical to our strategy without it being fake and false? Mm-hmm. And I think we can do that. I think we can observe what happens when a church gets into a community and bring some awareness to that. It's not that we're trying to... I'm going to be slightly controversial here just for a moment. I don't like the ethos that says before we feed people spiritually, we've got to feed them physically because it feels slightly agendered. Mm. I think Jesus fed people physically and fed people spiritually. Mm. And if I love people, I want to make sure they're not hungry, but I want to make sure they get to know Jesus. Mm. My concern has been that many churches, and if I might just be really honest, I'm not wanting to be negative and critical, but I do want us to be honest. If we're really, really honest, sometimes our community engagement stuff could just be done by anybody. Mm-hmm. It's not that obvious that it's done by a church and led by Christians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've got to make sure, otherwise we're selling people a little bit short. Yeah. I love what Gav Calver says. Gav Calver, for those of you who don't know, he's the CEO of the Evangelical Alliance. For those of you who don't know what the Evangelical Alliance is, the Evangelical Alliance is an alliance of evangelicals. Make a note of that.
Sounds great.
Make a note of that one. And he says this, which I really love. Whether you paint your neighbor's fence and then tell them about Jesus, or you tell them about Jesus and then paint your neighbor's fence, I'm not bothered. But let's just make sure we tell them about Jesus and paint their fence. I would add a little extra something to it. Let's first of all make sure they want us to paint their fence. That's pretty critical. Because otherwise that might be disengagement. But you get the idea behind it. Let's just love people, like practically. Let's out-love anybody, out-kind anybody. Yeah, yeah. But let's make sure we're telling them about Jesus, isn't it? In that relational kind of way. So I think things like that we can work on.
And so last year, I was remembering we were chatting and you are working with people from churches. So if somebody in your church feels that they've got a calling to evangelism, you will coach them and help them, won't you? Yeah. So, I mean, that's really good. So grab Mark.
Can I just say a little something about that? Thank you, Michelle. I really, really believe that Elim is here because of its role or its use of evangelists. If you look back historically, Elim was littered with evangelists. And I want to make a statement today. I think it's time to recover the gift of the evangelist. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like we've got to go all out and find the evangelist. Some of them will stand on a platform and do it full time. Some of them will be a nurse and they'll do it as part of their everyday life and in their work context. But if you are a leader in a church and represent a church, I wonder whether you, if you're a pastor or a leader, whether you can get together with your leadership and identify who are your evangelists. And if you're not sure and they're not sure, give them me anyway. Because if they are evangelists, they'll get excited. And if they realize they're not, they'll run a mile and that's fine. But we want them. We want them. Because we're creating this thing called the Elim Evangelist Community. Its aim is to bring some credibility, some training, some equipping, some accountability, some releasing for the role of the evangelist. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. If you know them, get them on there straight away. Come to our stand, grab the leaf that there's a QR, nearly said VAR then. That's a different thing altogether. Yeah, a QR code, and let's get them registered. I'm particularly excited about we're doing 3 online Zooms a year, an in-person conference in September, some already designed digital training stuff, and then we'll do some masterclasses and some speciality training. I want them for this June. I've got booked to speak to us. This is so exciting. You won't know his name, but when I mention the context, you'll understand. Do you remember the Asbury outpouring?
Yes.
Zach Meerkreebs was preaching on that night when the Asbury outpouring started. I've got to know Zach over recent times, and he's going to come on a Zoom with these evangelist community. That's the sort of people we're able to get. And they're going to put, and he's got this whole thing about not so much the outpouring, but what happened on the build up to that. And one of his critical things is we have to be people that are ready mm-hmm. for an outpouring.
Yeah.
And he speaks a lot around that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be doing that kind of stuff. And opportunities to take him on missions into your church and your community. So, Michelle, I'm so excited about this mm-hmm. next season for the evangelists.
It is exciting. And I think, you know, I wonder how many of us are part of Churches Together groups in our towns and cities. Anyone part of Churches Together? Yeah, quite a few of us. And it's not always easy, actually, is it?
No.
You know, but and talking evangelism isn't always easy with other churches. But something you did with us last year in Nantwich was you came and we fed you, didn't we?
You did. It was lovely.
We fed you the best Korean food you've ever tasted.
I'm not going to lie. So, it was outrageously good.
Come to Nantwich for good Korean food.
Absolutely.
But what we did was actually invite Mark and all of the church leaders from across our town to come and talk evangelism. Mm. And so we ate together, fellowshiped together, and that was great. And then Mark stood up and started to share about evangelism. And I know that that was really powerful in terms of sort of engaging our fellow church leaders in a conversation about reaching the town. And that stuff takes time to actually percolate and bear fruit. But it's a great idea to have Mark come. He loves a feast, don't you? You love a feast. And come speak with passion about evangelism to other leaders, because the truth is some of our evangelism is really good to do in the context of town-wide, city-wide events and programs and things to just engage with the community. So as we think about evangelism, come on, tell us a story. You want to hear a story?
Do you know what? The interesting thing is I've got no stories of people that I've met who went to bed an atheist and woke up wanting to become a Christian. I'm not saying they're not out there. I'm just saying I haven't met them. And I've been doing this 36 years, stretching actually over 4 actual decades, traveling about 30,000 miles a year. But what I have got is countless stories of people who've been on a journey. And that's why I'm more and more convinced. I think we've got research, we've got biblical stuff, we've got church history on our side when it comes to yeah, to believing in the journey, but it's nice to have some stories as well. So a few years ago, I'd done this thing called Reason to Believe with the church. And Reason to Believe, it's kind of a bit of a play on words. It's like saying, I believe there's good reason to believe, but I understand you may have reasons not to believe. So let's reason to believe. That's the sort of ethos. And we go through five questions. Is it reasonable to believe the Bible? Is it reasonable to believe in a God you can't see? Is it reasonable to believe in a God of love in a world of suffering? Is it reasonable to believe that that you can just do what feels right? And is it reasonable to believe that Christianity is right? Now, when we get to the Christianity is right, it's all about Jesus. Because Christianity isn't right, it's Jesus that's right. Isn't it? Jesus is right. Some of you are not sure about that. Come and meet me afterwards. I'll lead you to Jesus. I've got follow-up books and everything, okay? So Jesus is right. And Christianity is the only, in inverted commas, religion that understands, believes, seeks to live by, and seeks to teach. So it's Jesus that authenticates us. So that we know that. So that's the sort of thread. We look at his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection. And then I said at the end of the evening, right, if this is the night where we, like the last night, we do the appeal. It's a very relaxed appeal. So I'll lead people through a gentle conversational response and say, if you said a big yes to God tonight, come and see me. I've got a little booklet I'd love to give to you. So I'm stood on the door, a young lady about 25, 26, 27 years old, from a Sikh background I later discovered, very smart lady in suits, she'd just come from work, very intelligent lady. She came up to me, she said, oh, Mark, can I have one of your booklets? I gave her one of the booklets. I said, did you say yes to God this evening? Because I like to find out where they are so that I can sort of inform the local church or the pastor or the follow-up team. And she said, oh, no, I said yes to God 2 years ago. And I thought, that's okay, because what I have understood about that journey, about that process, is people often have to say yes many times. You might find that they come on an alpha, they become a Christian, and then an evangelist comes and preaches and they put their hand in the air, and you as a pastor going, but they've already done that. And sometimes we say to them, you don't need to do it again. And there's a level at which that's true. But actually, it's that assurance, that needing, that processing. And that's okay. So I said, oh, no, that's fine, absolutely fine. Has this evening helped you and the course helped you? She said, oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Like tonight, I said yes to Christianity. And in my brain, I'm going, okay, I understand that. Because people convert from atheism to theism before they even convert to Christianity. C.S. Lewis converted from atheism to theism 2 years before he converted to Christianity. So I could get my head around that. So I said, oh, that's great. I'm so grateful that tonight you said yes to Jesus. She went, oh, I didn't say yes to Jesus. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, there's a link to saying yes to Christianity and saying yes to Jesus. We would probably all think you can't really do one without the other. But that's because we've linked it together in our mind. In her mind, yes to God, yes to Christianity, not Jesus yet. Not Jesus yet, but yes to Christianity. And I mean, what do you do? What do you say? Can I have my booklet back? I mean, they cost a bob or two, those, don't they? Do you know what I mean? So back in the day, let me tell you what I would have said. I would have said, well, if you're not saying yes, you're saying no. What an idiot. I've kind of grown up a little bit since my angry young preaching on the streets days. Okay, I understand something a little bit more now. So I said to her, that's fantastic. May I encourage you to not leave it too long before you say yes to Jesus. Because saying yes to Jesus will make sense of the saying yes to Christianity you've done today and the saying yes to God you did 2 years ago. I got an email 2 years later. She clearly worked in twos. She said, Mark, just wanted to let you know, I finally said yes to Jesus and I'm getting baptized. Isn't that fantastic?
Awesome.
And there's loads of stories like that. Yeah. Shall I tell one more?
You could, but I just have a thought, you know, just in
like
there.
No?
Yeah, well.
Mark, I mean, you could, but no.
This is the new approach. Take that whichever way you'd like.
Like that. No, she's good. No. She's good.
But, But yeah, my just thought on the back of your story was that, you know, you've changed your approach over the years.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so what do you think we need to change in our approaches in churches?
Yeah, 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 good.
Then you can tell another story.
Thank you. Is that my reward? No, that's a really good question. I think I changed to an approach actually that I always believed in but didn't know how to do it. I think that's a critical thing. So I've got this language that I genuinely, I don't say these things very often. Maybe I should, but I don't want this language to too easily trip off my tongue. I really believe the Holy Spirit gave me a language. It happened in an evangelistic moment in a response where I'd led people through a prayer to become a Christian. And I just felt the Holy Spirit nudge me. And this is what the language was. And then I'll tell you why that language came about, because it links to the question. And so I'd done the thing, the classic thing. And I said, but it might be that you're here today and you're not ready to kind of give your life to God. I guess to say that big yes to God where you're like going all in. But I wonder whether you might be here today and you might be willing to make a bit of a decision to explore, to investigate, to have a good old rummage around in Christianity, to find out what it's really all about. And I guess you're kind of saying, I guess it's like a little yes. And when I said that, something happened inside me because I wasn't planning to say it. And I just felt what I really believe now is the Holy Spirit sealing something inside me. And then I went on to say, but it might be that you're here today and you're not really ready to say a big yes or a little yes. But I wonder whether I might gently challenge you to become open-minded, to say maybe there's something in this. But don't say maybe and then never give it a second thought. Say maybe and just keep it there on the back burner of your life, to take the maybe and just make it healthy. Healthy maybe. Mm. Interesting. I was going through this in my brain. And I just said, so if you're here, you're a big yes, look, yes, or healthy maybe, would love to help you. Come and see me at the end. I had the biggest response to the gospel that I'd ever seen in my life, both in terms of first-time commitments, but non-Christians coming up to me saying, Mark, I'm a little yes. Or I want to get to the little yes, but I don't know. And others saying, I'm definitely a healthy maybe. I had one bloke who said to me, I hate you. I said, well, that's nice. Is there any particular reason why? He said, yeah, because you've made me realize I'm closed-minded and I have to become open-minded. Mm. And do you know what? I just thought, isn't there something powerful when somebody who's not a follower of Jesus kind of declares, confesses where they are? I think there's a real power in that. I genuinely do. Not quite sure why I clicked my fingers like that. I won't do that again, I promise. Never do that. Don't do that again. Note to self. But I just think there's something really, really powerful. Now, that language, I really believe was from the Lord. And and like any good evangelist, you come up with some language and then you find scriptures to back it up afterwards, which we managed to do, which is always a relief. And then I discovered that actually, predominantly, that whole journey thing, which this big yes, look, yes, healthy, maybe, was about creating a language that recognizes not what creates. It's not a gimmick. You do this and it's a fail-safe way. No, this is how it tends to happen, that people more often become open-minded to something first before they explore it and look into it, before they commit to it. It's a pretty normal, natural process. And I began to realize this was the Holy Spirit giving me something. So why am I sharing that? Number one, because I want to make you aware of the language, and that's what the Right Now Media stuff goes through, and you can go and chat to them. They're down in the exhibition. They're fantastic. It's a phenomenal ministry. They've got a special Elim deal if you sign up. I think it's 50% of the general cost, and I think you get like your first month for a pound or something like that.
Brilliant.
And if you haven't got a pound, Michelle will give you it.
I will.
Oh, you will, okay.
I will.
I think we're recording it as well. So the thing about that is, for years, I had carried a real dissatisfaction that I didn't know what the answer to it was. And this was the dissatisfaction that I'd been, I've been wheeled in as an evangelist to preach the gospel to save people. And so you preach the gospel and people became Christians. Lots of times people didn't become Christians, by the way, just being really transparent and honest. And I didn't handle that well because I thought the harvest was something to do with me rather than realizing he's the Lord of the harvest. So he's responsible for the harvest, and the Lord means he's the boss. So he decides. But I didn't realize that. I'd go away thinking, did I not pray enough? Well, the answer to that is probably not, quite frankly. I mean, I get great value out of every day with Jesus. It lasts me about 3 years. Every other day with Jesus is what I call it. So I do pray just in case you're slightly concerned and slightly worried. That's what we call humour. Okay. But I'd go away thinking, what have I done wrong? As if it was my fault that people didn't become Christians. Because I didn't understand that it wasn't about that moment. That moment was part of something. And I was looking at that moment, and the success of that night was how many put their hands up. Do you know what? This year already, I've met 4 people, Michelle, mm-hmm. who became Christians through my preaching 15 years ago that I didn't know about.
Yeah. Interesting.
One of them became a Christian. I've just mm-hmm. found out literally 2 weeks, last weekend, I think it was, the Sunday before that. I was down in, up in our church in Ashbourne, the Elam Church in Ashbourne, met the pastor's wife, who became a Christian when I was preaching 17 years ago at a festival called Firm Foundations that the Boys and Girls Brigade ran. Mm. This is the beautiful thing. She makes a commitment to follow Jesus then. Guess who nurtured her in those early days? A lovely, godly lady by the name of Kathy Ryan, who's the wife of Mark Ryan, one of our Ealing ministers. Mm. And like, I might never have found that out. Mm-hmm. So it's not based upon what I see. We get the privilege of seeing things. Mm-hmm. But this was the challenge. I felt like if I said, if you want to say yes to God, if you prayed that prayer, we've got some lovely packs, nice shiny packs with lovely materials, lovely resources. We'd love to meet with you, encourage you, cheer you on if you became a Christian tonight. But it might, and then we might say something like, but if you're not become a Christian tonight, but you know you want to find out more, speak to the person that brought you. And it felt to me like I was saying, I wasn't saying it. Mm-hmm. And I hope it didn't come across this way. But it felt like to me, like I was saying, I'm only interested in you. We're only interested in helping you if you've said yes to God.
Yeah.
So I carried that dissatisfaction mm-hmm. for years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what's changed me and the way I do evangelism is discovering that we can help people on that journey, and I've learnt to celebrate the healthy maybes.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that language of healthy maybe, because it just means you're giving someone space to reflect
Absolutely.
And think and make a choice for themselves without any pressure. I'm just thinking of some of the stuff, you know, we sow today and we harvest many years later.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking of our Alpha group last year. There, it turned out there were people on that Alpha group who I'd walked to school with
no
my
way.
Son sort of 20 years ago, and we chatted then.
Amazing.
But actually 20 years later, I mean, it felt like a real blessing to
them
in Alpha and now see them in church.
Brilliant.
But some of this stuff we're sowing, and we don't see that immediate response,
that's right.
do we?
Yeah.
But actually in faith, there will be a response at some point, but maybe just not right in this moment.
No, and we need to be patient, don't we?
Do.
I know time's going away, but would it be okay if I maybe just shared briefly
to take us
through to the end? So a passage that's really gripped me is Acts chapter 26. Here you've got, and I'm not going to do a Bible study on this. If you want to explore this more, I've got a book. You can come and buy it. We can take cash, card, phone, watch, anything really. We'll take your car keys. Okay. You can explore this more and unpack this whole issue of the journey. But just because I'm aware of time, but I do just want to leave you with this scripture. In Acts 26, you've got this account where Paul is sharing his testimony. It's one of three accounts. Please, please, please go away, read Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, and build up this incredible narrative about the conversion of Saul. But here he is in this instance. He's in front of King Agrippa and Festus. He's sharing his testimony as part of his defense. Festus is kicking off. He said, Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning has driven you insane. And I think we have to understand that there is a perception that people think we're insane, that we're out of our mind out there. And Paul's response is just so beautiful, so beautiful. He says, most excellent Festus. Now, when you dig around, you discover that that's a phrase that somebody would use when bringing a greeting or a conversation to an ambassador. So it's a respectful phrase that he comes back with. He says, I'm not insane. What I am saying is true and reasonable. Quick pause there. We've been fairly good at declaring the truth of what we believe. We've got to get back on with that because we've got off it a little bit. But what we've not been so good at is showing the reasonableness of what we believe. That what we believe is true and it's reasonable. And I think that can only be done within the context of journey. And that's why I'm committed to creating as many tools for our churches so that they can create spaces and places for people to explore the Christian faith. Really committed to that. Brilliant. You can go on the www.elim.org.uk/evangelism. It'll take you to some pages where you can learn about lots of different tools and courses to help do that, because we need to show it's reasonable. And then King Agrippa says, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? Or as the AV puts it, actually slightly less accurately, but slightly more poetically, almost thou persuadest me. But the more literal translation is, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And this is where I land my session. I don't know if you want to say anything off after this, Michelle, but I love Paul's response. He says, short time or long. I pray to God that not only you, but all those who are listening to me today will become as I am, except for these chains.
Amen.
Short time or long. Mm-hmm. I pray.
Yeah.
There's the commitment. Mm. Can we commit, whether it's short or long, to praying like crazy, and where the Lord gives us opportunities to journey like crazy with people that they might become as we are? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Mm-hmm. I think if we want to be effective in evangelism, create a healthy culture of evangelism, then I think we need to be prayerful and willing to journey.
Amen. Well, that's a good point to land. I just wonder, does anyone have a wild card question for Mark? Because we did. Anyone got a question? Someone? Yeah. Shout it out. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So just a kind of headline of the question for those of you who couldn't hear. We've got lots of things like EE, but how do you start a conversation? Mm-hmm. Do you know what the truth is? I think EE is great. My concern with a lot of evangelism training courses, it goes straight for the jugular. And sometimes that's okay to do that. And sometimes we've got to be a little bit more bold and do that. But for me, and there's two types of evangelism. Number one, permanent. And number two, passing. So passing is like what you might do on the doors or on the street. And it might be more appropriate to use some of that kind of approach. But for most of the evangelism we're involved in, it's with permanent relationships. And it's going to set us back if we go straight for the jugular. So somebody said to me, how do you start a conversation about faith with people that you know? I want to say to you, I have never started a conversation about faith with people that I know. I just start conversations and it happens. And when it happens, I'm in. I'm not messing. I'm in. And we journey. Evangelism is best done in relationship, That's what the stats show. So I think whether it's door-to-door evangelism, street evangelism, or with our friends, mm-hmm. let's make it all personal, all relational, all journey-based, and all covered in prayer. I think it's really, really critical. But I'm all for learning how to share your faith. Again, we can help with that kind of stuff as well. Thanks, buddy. Good question.
Fabulous. Well, thank you for sharing so much. Will you thank Mark for sharing? Yeah. I feel like we've scattered a lot of seed today. There's another session tomorrow on the influencing church and then the supernatural church on Thursday. I really want to encourage you to come along. But perhaps could we just connect, you know, perhaps put a hand or a shoulder on someone's shoulder. Let's in unity. And I'm going to pray that that we see some fruit. Father, we thank you that this lunchtime on Tuesday at ELS, we've been able to gather together. We've been able to talk about the Awakening Church. We've talked about evangelism, Lord God, and reaching out to so many in our nation and beyond who need Jesus. And so, Father, we come before you and we just pray that we would be really good at establishing relationships with people. Father, if we're not great at making connections or conversations in passing, help us, Lord. Help us to have the words, the language, just as Mark spoke about. The Spirit, your Spirit, gave him a new language to talk about the healthy maybe. Can you give us all a language, Lord God, that enables us to connect with every generation and every person in our community? Those that are like us and those who are unlike us, Lord God, give us a language to speak that enables us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord God, that as we speak your words, Lord God, seeds would be planted in hearts that would germinate in the days, weeks, and years to come for your glory. So, Father, we thank you for the freedom that you've given us. We thank you for the joy we get in evangelizing and witnessing to others. And we thank you for Mark and others who are so committed to growing your church. Help us to see fruit in the days, the weeks, and the year ahead. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming along. Enjoy the rest of ELS. God bless.